It's Thursday, May 7th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I want to encourage everyone within the sound of my voice to join Normal at norml.org. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we believe there's nothing wrong with the responsible adult use of marijuana. We're working to change laws at the grassroots level, and there's a Normal chapter near you that could use your help. Or, if there's not, we can start a Normal chapter near you. For more information, send email to chapters@normal.org, and I'll hook you up with the activists in your area or teach you how to become one yourself. I just received a call today from San Luis Obispo, California, looking to start a slow Normal chapter out there. They'll be hitting the streets trying to gather up members, so people in that area, if you're interested in joining, send me an email at chapters@normal.org. We're also still trying to put together chapters in Kentucky and North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Nebraska, Kansas, Idaho. Send those emails in. Let's get a Normal chapter in all 50 states. Now, speaking of the states, we've got some good bits of news to pass on to you. The state of New Mexico's Department of Health has added chronic pain as one of the conditions that now qualifies for that state's medical marijuana program. That means out of the 13 medical marijuana states, only Maine does not recognize chronic pain as a qualifying condition for medical marijuana. But speaking of the state of Maine, which is also one of the 13 states that have decriminalized personal possession of marijuana for all adults, they just recently upped the limit to 2.5 ounces or less that you could be given just a fine, just a ticket, and no criminal record or jail time. Now, it can be quite a hefty fine, up to about $1,000, but that's a whole lot better than a criminal record and some jail time, isn't it? And at the federal level, today, the Senate just confirmed Gil Kerlikowske, the former police chief of Seattle, Washington, to become our country's next drug czar, or the head of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Let's see if Kerlikowske's pragmatic approach in Seattle can carry through at the federal level. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got your hemp headlines, including a fantastic survey from Zogby showing support for marijuana legalization at 52% nationwide. Another study comes in to show no risk of head or neck cancer for people who only smoke marijuana. Bad news from Bakersfield, California, about the sheriff's office raiding a dispensary there. And in our stupid stoner stories, something you should never bring to a courtroom. For our cannabis conversations tonight, we've got a special in-studio guest, Madeline Martinez from the Normal Board of Directors, also the executive director of Oregon Normal, is here to share with us the news of Medical Marijuana Awareness Month in the city of Portland, Oregon. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, the Reggae Wednesday song from yesterday, and in our Southern California scene, comedian Terry Joyce joins us to tell her about her experiences on the road doing comedy throughout the Pacific Northwest, and DJ Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network gives us some more information on the breaking news in California. Marijuana legalization. Yes, we cannabis. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. O'Leary Report Zogby Poll. 52% of Americans support legalizing marijuana. Washington, D.C. A new Zogby poll commissioned by the conservative-leaning O'Leary Report has found 52% voter support for treating marijuana as a legal, taxed, regulated substance. The survey, published as a full-page ad in today's issue of the political newspaper The Hill, polled a sample of 3,937 voters weighted to match the 2008 presidential outcome, 54% Obama voters and 46% McCain supporters. Voters were asked, quote, "Scarce law enforcement and prison resources, a desire to neutralize drug cartels, and the need for new sources of revenue have resurrected the topic of legalizing marijuana. Proponents say it makes sense to tax and regulate the drug, while opponents say that legalization would lead marijuana users to use other illicit drugs. Would you favor or oppose the government's effort to legalize marijuana?" End quote. The results showed a decisive majority of 52% in favor, with 37% opposed and 11% not sure, slightly higher than the 46% support reported in an ABC News Washington Post poll released at the end of April. In California, the respected Field poll recently found 56% support for making marijuana a taxed, regulated product that is legal for adults. This marks the first time in nationwide polling that I've seen majority support for legalization. The California Field poll recently pegged support at 56% in that state, and next thing you know, Governor Schwarzenegger is suggesting it's time for an open debate about legalization. The wall is crumbling, and as politicians looking to win re-election begin to realize that reefer madness is a deadly electoral disease, we will see more calling for new thinking on the marijuana issue. Study: smoking only marijuana does not contribute to head and neck cancers. From the Journal of Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers and Prevention, May 1, 2009. Background: marijuana contains carcinogens similar to tobacco smoke and has been suggested by relatively small studies to increase the risk of head and neck cancers, or HNC. Because tobacco is a major risk factor for head and neck cancers, large studies with substantial numbers of never tobacco users could help to clarify whether marijuana smoking is independently associated with the cancer risk. Methods: we pooled self-reported interview data on marijuana smoking and known head and neck cancer risk factors on 4,000 head and neck cancer cases and 5,000 controls from 5 case control studies. Sub-analyses were conducted among the never-tobacco users, over almost 500 cases and over 1,800 controls, and among individuals who did not consume alcohol or smoke tobacco, over 200 cases and over 800 controls. Results: the risk of head and neck cancer was not elevated by ever marijuana smoking, and there was no increased risk associated with increasing frequency, duration, or cumulative consumption of marijuana smoking. An increased risk of head and neck cancer associated with marijuana use was not detected among never tobacco users, nor among individuals who did not drink alcohol and smoke tobacco. Conclusion: our results are consistent with the notion that infrequent marijuana smoking does not confer a risk of these malignancies. Nonetheless, because of the prevalence of frequent marijuana smoking was low in most of the contributing studies, we could not rule out a moderately increased risk, particularly among subgroups without exposure to tobacco and alcohol. Okay now, waiting for the mainstream media to plaster the "Marijuana smoking does not cause head and neck cancer" headline all over the news in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1/2, 1/3, 1/4, any second now, I'm sure this is going to be all over the airwaves, cyberspace, and newsprint. You know, like that going to pot weed and testicular cancer story back in February? You know, the one that cited one small study about a tiny increase in risk for the very rare, almost never fatal cancer, acknowledges possible self-reporting bias, and concludes at the end of the article, quote, "The bottom line is that I would not start warning my marijuana smokers that they are going to get testicular cancer, and I don't think there's enough here to go forward with that message, at least not yet," end quote. Yeah, that one, the one that got mentioned in 181 separate news articles, according to Google News. Let's just go see what Google News reports on for marijuana head neck cancer for the week of May 1 through 7, shall we? What do you know? The only hit in the past week is Normal Board's George Rohrbacher's essay on his experience as a medical marijuana patient. Expand the search to the past month, and we find another hit, this time from a 420 article on Transworld News stating, quote, "Long-term use of marijuana may increase the risk of chronic cough, bronchitis, and emphysema, as well as cancer of the head, neck, and lungs," end quote. Not only does marijuana not cause cancer, cannabinoids may be the key to curing cancer, and our government's known that since the 1970s. Yet, 7 decades of demonization of marijuana and its users, especially the last 4 decades of culture wars, have created this bizarre situation where the slightest negative word about cannabis is magnified and amplified, while groundbreaking, earth-shattering good news about pot is ignored. If this were a newly discovered plant from the Amazon jungles, it would be hailed as a miracle medicine. County sheriffs and DEA raid Bakersfield marijuana dispensary and arrest 3. Just a week or so after word spread that local marijuana dispensaries are starting to reopen in Bakersfield, the local sheriff's office has raided one and arrested 3 men. Kern County deputies and officials with the DEA served a search warrant Wednesday at the Green Cross Compassionate Co-op in East Bakersfield. They arrested 3 men. All 3 were booked on charges of selling and possessing marijuana, as well as conspiracy. Deputies also said they found 2 pounds of, quote, high-grade marijuana and 2 loaded shotguns. Bakersfield once had at least a half dozen licensed medical marijuana dispensaries, but they all closed in 2007 after sheriff's raids. 56% of Californians support outright legalization of marijuana, and public support for medical marijuana runs in the 70% to 80% range. Even if the sheriff had reason to believe this dispensary may have been operating outside of Attorney General Brown's guidelines, why bring in the DEA? To get them on federal charges where they can't use medical marijuana as a defense, I'd presume. I think we may be looking at a Kern County sheriff that will have some trouble getting reelected. Why don't we tell him so? You can email Sheriff Donnie Youngblood at sheriff@kernsheriff.com. That's kernsheriff.com. Or you can call 661-391-7500.
Stupid Stoner Stories. As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Some pot smokers are just plain old stupid. This story gets an A+ for irony for being from Hempstead, a colonial name given to a homestead for hemp farming.
Hempstead, New York. When Desmond Kelly strolled into First District Court in Hempstead Wednesday to deal with a motor vehicle violation, he probably expected to pay a fine and go home. But things blazed out of control. Nassau District Attorney spokesman Eric Phillips said when the judge asked Kelly to see the summons issued to him in regards to the violation, the Inwood man pulled it out of his pocket and, inadvertently, a small bag of marijuana came out as well. To make matters worse, the baggie fell right on top of the court officer's shoe. The court officer then yelled out, "You're under arrest!" And according to Phillips, the packed courtroom let out a collective gasp. Court officials then charged and arraigned Kelly, age 28, for marijuana possession.
This is one of the most boneheaded, stupid, idiotic mistakes someone could possibly make. Although, if cannabis were legal, as it should be, then nobody would have taken notice. Can you imagine the headline? Man dropped something out of his pocket and picked it up. Not very newsworthy, is it? I'm sure that President Obama is still laughing. Someone pass him something to drink to treat his cotton mouth.
So here's the deal. We've got this new president who seems really cool. I mean, the guy is well-spoken, he's open-minded, he seems to listen to people, and he's extremely well-educated. I mean, he graduated from Harvard Law School. But this is a guy who's admitted to smoking marijuana, that illegal leaf that just ruins people's lives. How could the president of the United States have ever done such a thing? Maybe because he knew it was less addictive than both alcohol and nicotine, and knew it can be consumed responsibly. But it's probably been a while since he smoked a joint. So if I had one thing to say to Barack Obama about cannabis, it would probably be something like, "Hey dude, I'm one of 80 million people in your country who has smoked marijuana, and so are you." Or maybe I would say over 700,000 people were arrested in this last year for marijuana-related charges. Or something like, "Let's re-examine this law altogether." Or possibly that $1.3 billion is spent annually fighting marijuana, not including the cost of prison management and construction. Or I might just end up saying, "Hey man, you know the facts. Let's fix this mess."
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our normal daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations.
We've got some really exciting news to break here from Portland, Oregon, and joining me live in the studio is Madeline Martinez from the Board of Directors of Normal and the Executive Director of Oregon Normal. Welcome back, Madeline.
Thank you, Russ. I'm so glad to be with you today.
You know, a couple weeks ago, we had placed a story on the stash about the mayor of Eugene, Oregon, Katie Piercy, declaring Medical Marijuana Awareness Week in the city of Eugene. That leads us to your news. So tell our listeners what we have to tell them.
Well, I shared the news about the Eugene Mayor's Piercy's proclamation that the first week of May would be Medical Marijuana Awareness Week. Well, not to be outdone, I contacted the mayor, Sam Adams of Portland, and he was very receptive and was pleased to give us a proclamation.
We can't have Eugene outdoing Portland. Is that the idea?
Of course not.
Well, okay, so we've got a proclamation here from Mayor Sam Adams. Go ahead and do the honors and read it for our audience.
Whereas in November 1998, voters passed into law the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, allowing Oregonians suffering from debilitating medical conditions to use marijuana as medicine. And whereas currently nearly 25,000 patients are enrolled and over 2,900 doctors have provided recommendations for patients' utilization of medical marijuana, and whereas 13 states have passed laws allowing for chronically ill and seriously ill patients to use cannabis with the approval of their physicians, and whereas on September 6, 1988, the Drug Enforcement Administration's own administrative law judge, Francis L. Young, ruled that marijuana in its natural form is one of the safest therapeutically active substances known. And whereas there are over 17,000 published scientific studies on the therapeutic values of cannabis and cannabinoids in the National Library of Medicine, and there are over 2,600 patents filed for the medical use of cannabinoids in the United States Patent Office, and whereas preclinical and clinical trials indicate that cannabinoids are useful in controlling Alzheimer's disease, cancer, chronic pain, diabetes, GI disorders, hepatitis C, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, and sleep apnea. And whereas marijuana has a history of thousands of years of safe use without any recorded deaths attributed to its use, and all its citizens deserve to know the truth about cannabis. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim the month of May 2009 as Medical Marijuana Awareness Month in Portland and encourage all residents to join in this month's observance.
All right. That is so great. And this is the entire city of Portland standing up for medical marijuana. We've got a copy of this proclamation up on our website at stash.normal.org. You can also check the Oregon Normal website at ornormal.org for more information about this. But this is amazing. I don't think this has been done in any major American city, to my knowledge.
No. Thanks to Eugene leading the way. And, you know, we've got a whole month now to observe it. And I'm so anxious to get this information to DARE and to Partnership for a Drug-Free Oregon and to all the people, the domino effect at the governor's office. I think that Sam Adams is obviously ahead of his time. And I just thank him so much and the city of Portland as a whole for being so diverse and so supportive of medical marijuana patients.
Absolutely. And this just goes to show the changing opinions here. We just got that California field poll that showed a 56% support for legalization. New Zogby poll from the O'Leary report showed nationwide 52% support for marijuana legalization. And it's the medical marijuana that has helped to change the attitudes. You always told me that medical marijuana was the crack in the wall of ignorance. And so how do you see this proclamation at the level at Portland affecting the politics of marijuana in Oregon and beyond?
Well, I think the fact that they're aware of our program, that it's a decade old, that so many patients are utilizing this most effective medicine, that the money's there, we're self-funded. You know, some of the thoughts before we were working up to the law, Measure 67, which became the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, were big concerns about how would patients react and how would our city respond. Well, none of the horrible things they thought would happen, raping and pillaging or any of that took place. And now our program has been legitimized because the state of Oregon is actually a partner in marijuana revenue as, you know, a source. They took over $900,000, Russ, you remember, in 2007 out of our $1 million surplus.
Yeah. And a time when the states, you know, Oregon is one of many states that is facing such a severe budget crisis. There's no reason we should be leaving that money on the table. Another interesting statistic is how Oregon's leading the nation, or is one of the top two or three states in the nation, with unemployment right now running around 12%.
Exactly.
And, you know, we can see that legalization of marijuana would certainly lead to more jobs and more industry in the state. But back to the medical aspect of this, We just had New Mexico recognize chronic pain as a condition. Mm-hmm. We've got the states of New Hampshire and Minnesota and Illinois and Alabama, all these states, New Jersey and Pennsylvania, considering medical marijuana. What lessons from the decade of Oregon medical marijuana would you want to tell the other states that are trying to implement it?
Well, I think that the other states that are trying to implement it really need to focus on using our law as a template in the amounts. At least 24 ounces is a wonderful amount to have of stored medicine, the ability to do that. I think they need to also determine that, or put into their language, clear definition of a mature plant as a plant that is flowering. Mm. That should be the definition. That should be where the measuring point, not the height or the dimension. It should always be there, and they should always pay attention to access. Make it accessible. It does absolutely no good to be able to use marijuana but not have a place to go, a resource to be able to go and get your marijuana, to access that marijuana safely. And without it, you know, what you end up with is a law that pushes people to the black market.
Right.
And, you know, one of our beliefs as Oregon Normal is that if we support the black market, we support prohibition. And we need to change our direction. And it's really important to make it accessible. And I also want to point out, Russ, that now here in the state, they're looking at marijuana money as further revenue and are thinking about taxing it. $98 an ounce. Representative Ron Maurer has put this forth, and the Dutch are coming into town, some scientists. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very exciting to meet them. And we're going to go down and discuss it with the House of Representatives, which makes it amazing. But what I keep pointing out to the representatives is that in the state of Oregon, we currently have 25,000 patients with the program, but we have 300,000 cannabis consumers by government statistics that reside in the state of Oregon. And so if we want a source of revenue, we need to look to that pool, and we need to tax and regulate.
Absolutely.
Let's do it legislatively.
How about workplace protections? I know in Oregon a big push this year was made by law enforcement and the business community to restrict the ability of patients' right to work. Is there a way to codify that into a future medical marijuana law for these other states?
That's an excellent point. I think that would be the focus of my work if I were to go there, because, you know, we fought so hard these horrible bills that they wanted to bring forth this session. And luckily, we were saved, you know, dodged by a bullet thanks to Senator Floyd Przanski. He went in there and offered a friendly amendment, and one of the lobbyists lost their job because of that amendment.
Oh.
Yes, the Associated General Contractors lobbyist was let go.
Wow.
Because
That illustrates another part of your work with Oregon Normal, is this lobbying at the State House. And I was really proud that we had the May 1st anniversary, the 10-year anniversary. Tell folks what you did there at the Capitol, and what was the reaction from the lobbyists and the legislators that saw your displays?
Well, you know, we were really taken seriously. Many of the, you know, for many of the representatives and the senators stopped by and talked with us. And it was quite amusing. The unions, those union lobbyists, were especially supportive because they're losing a lot of their good workers. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many cannabis consumers, and they're looking for a revenue source as well. And I keep on telling these gentlemen, these lobbyists, that we need to get together. And so I've been invited to go to at least one conference and speak on tax and regulate. And we're hoping that they'll get behind us, not only with their support, but with financial support, because that's the what we're lacking so much of, is the ability to move forward, because we don't have the dollars that law enforcement and all the other entities that are our opponents.
Yeah, fighting us with our own tax dollars, in a sense.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. It is. It's adds insult to injury.
Absolutely. Well, this is exciting, this proclamation here. We're going to get this up on the web again. Check that out at stash.normal.org. The City of Portland declaring May Medical Marijuana Awareness Month. And to our knowledge, this is the first major American city, even minor American city after Eugene, but they only did a week. So
right. I think this is amazing.
We may have set the bar. Madeline Martinez from Oregon Normal and the Normal Board, thanks again for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Today we're going to bring you the song that was backlogged for yesterday's Reggae Wednesday, and it's a great song called Ganja Man by Shango Axe, nominated in 2007's Marijuana Music Awards. Shango Axe have successfully created an original brand of reggae by taking advantage of their diverse musical backgrounds. Their mix of experimental dub jams, hip-hop-infused dancehall, and roots reggae has enthralled a wide span of music lovers. Shango Axe has had the honor of sharing the stage with reggae greats such as Burning Spear, Jimmy Cliff, Sizzla, Stephen Marley, and Ika Mouse, among others. Check out Shango Axe and grab their CD at myspace.com/ShangoAxe. That's S-H-A-N-G-O-A-X-E. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Shango Axe with Ganja Man.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Weed.
That's Hoovy Valley, Hoovy Hub.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce. Hi, Terry. Hey, welcome back from the road.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back.
So you went up to Big Sky Country, and on your way back came through Oregon, and unfortunately our schedules didn't line up. We didn't get a chance to see each other, but tell us a little bit about your trip.
Well, my trip was very successful and was a lot of fun, although I did have an interesting incident on a casino in Oregon, and it was an Indian reservation.
Yeah?
And I was talking about marijuana, you know, on stage. And
no.
I guess I got a little too, rambunctious. I kind of maybe turned into Harvey Milk or something. I don't know what happened. And so when I got done, there was two shows. And because the Indian casinos are on Federal Reserve property, you're not supposed to have any marijuana. They don't acknowledge any of the medical marijuana laws.
Right.
And I was completely unaware of this. So I got off stage and I went to my room to smoke a little weed between shows, because sometimes I just like to have like a slight, you know, just be a little relaxed, kind of have your mind open. And it had been a long drive, and the police started following the other comedian to the bathroom and kind of had an eye on her and stuff. And so at the same time, I'm in my room kind of relaxing, and I get this knock on the door, and I'm thinking, who is it? And they go, it's the Federal Reserve. And I was like, oh my God, it's the Federal Police. I was like, oh shit, you know. And my room, I had like this beautiful, like, a ganja, you know, organ bud that, you know, just permeated the room, right? So I open the door, and they're standing there, and they said, do you have marijuana? And it, I felt like it was like, in my mind, it was like a Cheech and Chong film, like maybe the smell just wafted out of the door. And I looked at him, and I said, yes, I do. And he said, and you're the entertainer? Like, you have marijuana, and you're the entertainer? And I was thinking, well, like, does this surprise you? You know, I mean, thinking about all the different people that come through there. And, so they said, well, we're going to have to take the marijuana. And, I was thinking, it's like good news, bad news all at the same time.
Yeah.
Good news, bad news. So I said, well, I'm a medical marijuana patient from Southern California, from, you know, and he says, well, we don't acknowledge those laws here. And he says, well, this is federal land, and we don't acknowledge this. And then I said, well, I have my medical marijuana card in California. And he said, well, can I see your card? And he said, well, what we're going to do is that we're going to ask you to put your marijuana in your car. Because I actually apologized to him. I said, look, if I had known that this was, had realized how the law was here and that this was federal, property, I said, I would have never have, like, disrespected you by bringing my marijuana or smoking it on the reservation. So then I said, well, and I literally, I had like 15 minutes before I had to get on stage, and I said, well, I've got to get on stage and my car's in valet. And so he's like, he's on the intercom, the comic, we're going to escort her to her car. She's going to put the marijuana in her car. And
jeez.
Let her know that she may be late. The comic is going to put her marijuana in her car. And I was just, and I'm being escorted out by the police. And it was just,
wow.
It was wonderful that they let me go. And I got to keep the bud, which was even, I got to keep my marijuana. I got to keep my medicine. It all turned out good. And I thanked him for teaching me something new. I had more insight, and I mentioned that I do a podcast for Normal, and I was an activist, and he goes, you're not going to make a joke about me, are you?
That's great news that, the federal police aren't, pressing any charges here and letting you keep your medicine. That's really amazing. But, I want to remind everyone that, to learn the lesson from this, don't take your weed onto a reservation. Well, let's get to our, interview segment here. Again, you've brought back, DJ Kuti, right?
Correct. Yeah.
DJ Kuti, she is the president of the Patient Advocacy Network, and we have her on once a month, and she's always so informative and passionate and insightful, and she's back on the show.
All right. Welcome back, DJ.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you were telling me about some really important news coming out of San Francisco. Let's break that for our audience.
Great. Yeah, no, wonderful. There's good things going on all over the state. So, San Francisco this week passed a resolution after the DEA raid there at the end of March. The elected officials, along with the patient advocates there, worked diligently to draft a resolution. And this resolution calls on the Obama administration to provide a clear and implementable policy. As you know, we've had some casual comments made by the president when he was campaigning. Then we had more definitive statements made by Attorney General Eric Holder. However, those haven't seemed to really hold up. The DEA did go ahead and conduct a raid in San Francisco without local officials, and it prompted the San Francisco Board of Supervisors to draft and introduce and eventually vote on and pass a resolution calling for these clear policies to end aggressive raids, to return property for those patients who've never been charged with a crime, to dismiss federal charges against dispensary operators who have not ever been in violation of their state's laws. So this resolution is not just to protect San Francisco. This resolution is to protect every medical cannabis patient in a state with existing medical cannabis laws across the country.
That's excellent news out of San Francisco, and we hope the Obama administration would take that seriously. And looking at the polls lately, I think politically these people are going to have to take it more seriously. We just saw a Zogby poll released showing a nationwide 52% support for legalization of marijuana,
and a California field poll showing 56% support in the Golden State. Even Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is starting to talk about it. Can you give us any ground's eye view there from California about how this is shaping up politically?
Well, yes. I mean, what's going on with Tom Aniano's bill is he needed to get a sponsor, and he wasn't able to get sponsorship right away. So it's going to go through the regular channels that a bill goes through, which is going to be many months in the process. So before California actually gets a chance to vote on that bill, it will be a while. But it is interesting that the governor is choosing to weigh in and say something political. It makes me wonder how much of his comments are being made in light of the fact that we have a special election in May and that he's hoping to get his resolutions passed. But it has made really big news, and I think it's because it is such a change from the things he has said in the past.
Yeah. And one other story, too, that we just reported on today about a raid up in Bakersfield on a cooperative there. You have some more details for us.
Yes. There was a, you know, of course, there's always a confusion and mayhem when a raid starts, and sometimes it's very hard to tell just by the way law enforcement is dressed to know who's with what jurisdiction. But it turned out that the raid yesterday was conducted primarily by the Kern County Sheriff and a SWAT team, and I understand there were two DEA observers there. The sheriff claimed to have been already investigating the dispensary openly, such as just going in and talking to them and asking them about the operations. But the most recent news item I heard seems to indicate that the local law enforcement was most concerned about the fact that there was an armed guard on the premises and that possibly the dispensary operator himself also had a weapon on site. So we'll see. Supposedly this is supposed to all be heard on the state level, and that's what we want.
Now, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but is there any sort of regulations in California for businesses that want to have armed guards on the premises?
I don't know if it's so much about, I mean, I'm in L.A. where armed guards are just part of the culture. I mean, armed guards are in the lobbies of banks. They are in the waiting rooms of hospitals. They're at grocery stores. They're, you know, that's just part of the culture. I think what usually if it's an independently contracted security guard, local officials don't have a lot of problem with that. But when you're dealing with a clerk or an operator or someone behind a desk that also has access to a gun, I think they feel that's very problematic. And also when you start looking at potential drug charges with weapons, they don't mix. They just don't mix very well. We had an incident here in L.A. the middle of last month where someone attempted to rob a dispensary, and as an afterthought, and it's caught on the security camera, the clerk behind the counter of the dispensary pulled out a gun and went after the robber, after the robber was getting ready to head for the door. And I think it's that kind of behavior that lets people know this isn't a good mix.
Yeah. We don't need any more violence being associated with the medical marijuana or the dispensaries. There's nothing in those plants or that money worth dying over, that's for sure.
It grows on trees. It's okay. We'll just make more.
That's right. Take what you want. We'll plant more. Well, DeJ, we thank you for bringing, you know, those news updates for us, from California. Anything else you need to tell our listeners before we wrap things up?
Well, I just think in addition to San Francisco, Los Angeles is also moving forward, in a positive way with, completing its draft regulations and trying to get a hold of the dispensary system that we have here in LA.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, and maybe next month you'll have more on that story for us. And Terry, how about yourself? What's happening now as far as gigs and the world there in Southern California for you?
Right now, I'm just kind of taking a beat for a second. The movie that I worked on, Hardcore Circus, is being released on June 16th, and if anybody wants to check it out, go to YouTube, and there's a preview. There's a little preview of the film, and so I'm really excited about that. So there's a lot of good stuff happening surrounding that. That's about it. Oh, and also, Blue Iris. I know we had her on the show several times. She was also part of a big supporter of medical marijuana, and she was a comedian, a regular on Howard Stern, as well as She's, you know, featured and starring in the Hardcore Circus as well. She just passed away.
Oh.
So we are doing a garage sale for her. And you know what? I'll give you the I don't have the exact address on me right now, but we're raising funds for her funeral as well. So we're doing a garage sale Saturday.
Okay. Well, our condolences go out to the friends and family of Blue Iris. And she was a very entertaining guest here on the Daily Audio Stash. So we'll miss her.
She was.
Well, Terry Joyce and Dejay Kuti, thank you so much for joining us again here for this Southern California Report. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again later.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes, this one from Founding Father Benjamin Franklin, who said, quote, "They that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety," end quote. The principle to remember, as we're going to hear a lot of talk about the drug war in Mexico and the increasing violence. There's so much temptation by our law enforcement, our government, and our military to want to fight violence with violence, when it would be so easy to eliminate the violence by just legalizing the market. We should have learned this lesson from the 1930s. Prohibition creates crime. It does not stop use. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.